I only had one insight this year for this Torah portion, but it is an insight that bore a lot of fruit for me. For those who read my Friday article, there's a little insight last night as well. Here's the insight. The insight is an answer to a problem I had, or an area of boredom I had in the Torah portion, which is that Yitro taught Moshe how to delegate. And as I've struggled with that, because I couldn't really think there was so much meat in it, this year I remembered who Moshe was. Moses grew up in the center of one of the world's greatest and most sophisticated civilizations. He knew delegation. He lived in a highly advanced bureaucratic society. And so it seemed to me that the lessons that Jethro is teaching Moses are not about delegation, but about something far deeper and more profound that can impact each of us in our relationships within our families, at work, in the largest of institutions, because a certain sort of dynamic plays out in all of these. But before we can get there, I have to tell you about last Tuesday. Tuesdays are normally my day off, but last Tuesday was the first chance I got to take a day off since the new year. And I took advantage of it. I had my vocal class, I got a haircut, and then I went to my favorite fish market, which is in the Southeast Flying Fish Company. It is connected with a beautiful farmer's market with all sorts of produce. And there I saw a vegetable which is quite beloved to me, which some of you may know. It's called broccoli romanesque. It's a favorite vegetable of me because it was an example when I did not follow the rules. Back in my chef days, I had the privilege of cooking for several presidents, and I once had George Bush Sr. come to Chevron, where I was the executive chef, and broccoli romanesque doesn't look at all like regular broccoli. For those of us of a certain age, we know that George Bush Sr. did not like broccoli, but I put it on his plate. Because it didn't look like regular broccoli. So what is it about broccoli romanesque that is different? First of all, it looks like crystals. It looks like, and it is, a fractal. Now, I don't know if you know what a fractal is. But I thought I'd, since I did not bring a broccoli romanesque here, I thought I would bring some examples of how this mathematical pattern that repeats itself over and over again looks in different forms. Because when I got that broccoli romanesque home, I taught Shia and I had a beautiful time sitting on the floor of the kitchen, talking about fractals, going on my phone, looking at all the different forms of fractals that occur in nature. This is a fractal. A fractal is a pattern that repeats itself at every order of organization, at every level of scale, from the smallest to the largest. And if you were to examine this carefully, this is not the best or most obvious example, you'll see that each stem and leaf repeats and branches off, and it repeats again and again and again as you get larger. And if you look at the tree itself, the tree is a fractal. It repeats itself endlessly. So, first of all, the first time I learned about this, it blew my mind, and it was wonderful watching it blow Shia's mind. Math is all around us. But fractals, I want to propose, don't exist just in nature, in science and structures. Fractals exist in human society. in our emotional makeup of the systems in which we live. And one of the deepest forms of understanding that I know for how systems and families work all propose that any system operates the same way, and that if a leader is differentiated, knows who she is or he is, they will not be held hostage to the emotional turmoil that occurs in families, in synagogues, in institutions, in the army. There's been beautiful research on it. And it's fascinating that our job in our lives, because everyone is a leader somewhere, is to know who we are, to be self-differentiated so that we can be calm in the presence of anxiety. For when we are, everything around us begins to change also. And that brings us to this week's Torah portion. Because this is not a lesson of delegation. Delegation is when I have certain tasks to do and I've got too much on my plate and I ask somebody else to handle part of my load. So let's see what happened in the Parsha. The Jews are free and they are scared and fearful and they are fighting with one another. The level of anxiety of this slave people out in the world, free for the first time, overwhelms them, and all they can do is fight with one another. And Moses isn't differentiated. Moses gets sucked into the struggles and the dilemmas of everyone, and they, from day to night, he is triangulated in all of these people's issues. And Jethro looks at him and says, this is unfair. It is an affront to the kavod, to the dignity and the respect of the people themselves. What you're doing is not okay. Here's what you have to do. And instead of delegating, Moses and Jethro build a fractal. A legal system of fractals of rules where the same pattern repeats itself at every organization. There will be a court of 10 and a court of 100, a court of 1,000 and 10,000, and the most difficult issues will come before Moshe. So what's happening here is that Moses has created a structure with the help of his father-in-law where every individual, in order to properly adjudicate, has to become self-differentiated, has to practice justice, being able to dispassionately see the world around them, and therefore improve and fix the system. This is ingenious and brilliant. It is not passing different duties on. It is making everyone a leader. It is building in the lessons that Moses learned into the entire people. And after that, the people were worthy to receive the Ten Commandments. After that, we received the Torah. Because when we are caught in the anxieties of living, it's very hard for us to change, to grow, to operate a little bit better in our lives. And then the rules don't speak to us. It's when we know who we are that we're able to shed some of our anti-authoritarian issues, that we can simply be in the world. A fractal of emotion, a fractal of justice embedded in the DNA of the Jewish people. It's beautiful. It's remarkable. And clearly, God loves math. In plants, in mollusk shells, in the heart and the soul of the human being. May you each, may I, may we all find ways to better differentiate, to be ourselves, to reduce the anxiety that exists in a society of fear in which we are reactive rather than raising up ourselves and those around us. Shabbat Shalom.